Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and today we have a special guest with us. She is a psychic, a medium, and an energy healer, among a lot of other things, and she has a lot of personal stories that she's here to share with us. So without further ado, allow me to introduce our guest, Trisha Brown. How you doing?
Hello! Hi!
So,
thanks for having me!
Thank you for being on the show today. Why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, well, I'm single, I'm 51, I live in Pensacola, Florida, I'm from Saratoga, California, I grew up in a nice town and near the mountains and spent a lot of time camping and being a total, you know, like outdoors girl in the country in the mountains of California, very athletic, very, you know, active and all that stuff. So just really super in tune with nature since very, very little. Always had, you know, the best experiences. I think I came into this world pretty awake at a very, very young age. And so I started having, you know, very profound spiritual experiences since I was really little, like two. So as I progressed in just my elementary school years, I had some big spiritual experiences, good ones. And also, I think a combination of the reason why I had these experiences was because I was around a lot of really good people who were very welcoming and encouraging and so I had that around me a lot. And so it gave me the option to think for myself, you know, to have my own thoughts and to be peaceful. You know, I mean, I have the side of my life where, you know, the being around some of the dysfunctional people, but I also had, you know, luckily, the very healthy, functional people. So a lot of Catholic and Jewish people around me. So I got to be around those people who are very kind and loving and supportive. And so in my early years, I would have these just thoughts would occur to me. Like, I mean, I remember like being like fourth grade thinking I'm spiritual, but I don't know what that means. I remember thinking that I had a connection to Native Americans, like and now I call them the ancient people of the land, because, you know, growing up in California, being outside a lot, where I'm from, Santa Cruz Mountains area, there's a lot, you know, the Ohlone Indian territory. And I mean, I can like really ramble a lot about my, you know, my background, but I've just spent a lot of years studying paranormal stuff, like just, you know, the afterlife you know, spiritual, being spiritual, what does that mean? You know, I've studied psychology and philosophy and interpersonal skills and good communication. And as I was having more and more of these experiences, I continued wanting to gain knowledge about what was I experiencing. I remember thinking when I was in elementary, junior high, and high school that I was going to be a parapsychologist. That was, you know, when you do that thing like, what did you want to be when you grew up? I mean, that's what I was thinking. And I realized, oh my God, I kind of did it. I kind of am a parapsychologist. So years of studying how to be a good person, you know, like inner senses development is what I call it, as opposed to psychic development. Connecting with your spirit guides. And then, you know, in 2006, I moved to Southern California and I did get on a paranormal team. Pretty much every single person on that team was a medium. And then there was one guy, he was more the science guy, and his name's Bill Murphy. And he was on a show called like Fact or Faked or something like that for a while. And then I would see like people on the team on different episodes of things and all. So that was sort of a, they kind of taught me some, you know, in, you know, first beginnings of if you're going to be out and about, like, you know, psychic self-defense and, you know, these sorts of things. So it's kind of just been a lifelong experience. And so when I have had some of the feeling of or seeing some beings that were like, they put off a vibe that was didn't feel good, or you could see them and like they didn't look right, then, you know, I really wanted to understand, like, how can I have like experiences with archangels and angels and ascended masters and the spirit guides and the helping spirits and the fun things, the nature spirits, the element, you know. So I was in that realm of wanting to learn, connecting with nature and, you know, all that, like on even a, in a more of a fun, mystical way. And, you know, it's been happening. It happens a lot for me. So I went to spiritual study school in 2015 to study mediumship further. And with that, I also gained a lot of certifications in different healing, energy healing modalities, color and sound, and distance healing is when I've been, I want to say, perfecting or mastering the practice of, and I'm seeing how my abilities with, I'm very into wellness. Okay. I've spent years studying and living, being well, like what are, you know, studying the properties of food. And I also realized I'm able to really connect to the inner parts of the body. Like I can see kind of not literally in my mind's eye, but like I can imagine the body systems. And so I realized I've been living that for a long time. And so as I've connected my mediumship with my, when I do energy work with people, I want to teach them about connecting to their own bodies and helping their bodies instead of hindering by the contradicting thoughts that they think. And so my work is learning, has spent a lot of years studying thought and emotion and releasing those energies and those emotions out of the body so that you have wellness. So these lots of different realm of inner work and personal and spiritual growth with using my intuitive skills throughout my life more and more. So that's kind of the gist.
And that's the gist of who you are.
Yeah. There's, I mean, lots to, you know, there's lots to everybody, right? We have a lot to ourselves. You know, I'm a big outdoors person. I love being healthy and well. And I like to encourage, I'm a super into encouraging and being people's cheerleaders and helping them see new perspectives, you know? And I've spent a lot of years where it'll happen spontaneously. Like, you know, like Teresa Caputo, like she kind of does that where she'll be out and about and all of a sudden she's, you know, a loved one is wanting to come through and give that person, you know, I find myself having these similar experiences. And it really has helped me listen to her background because she used to feel super anxiety. And I realized like I have where I have to call that person and tell them, talk to them for some reason, or I need to pass along this information. And then I do. And then this sort of like, it feels like this, oh, I did it. I did my part. I passed along the news. Or it's always good though. Okay. My background is coming from a very high place of giving the message, you know. It's not like, I mean, I've had experiences where I felt like I think that her husband is cheating on her, but you wouldn't go about it saying like that. You would maybe ask just casually, like, oh, are you, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, are you single? Are you married? You know, ease into it. And then, so do you have a good relationship? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like it's more of a helping, you know, helping in as opposed
like
to
push them in the right direction instead of telling them.
Well, giving them some information so that they can think about it themselves. You know, it's not, it's like, I'm sort of like, here's how you do it. Here's what to do. Like, you know, teaching, coaching, whether it's like with a sport, you know, stance. And here's, you have to swing the bat. I can't swing the bat for you, so helping people with, and in my own way, I'm still in my own practicing, bettering me all the time, evolving myself. So there's a lot going on, but I just really super enjoy connecting with these forest beings and when you go into the woods, or if you're walking by a plant and the plant moves and you're like, oh my God, that plant just, two plants just moved their branches like at the same time, and there's no wind, and it's just this kind of stuff. It's really fun. So I want to have other people have those experiences. There's so many people that are really super into investigating. They want to go and they want to have an experience too. And like learning, wanting to have a really good experience, you can. I know the TV really focuses on the negative experiences, but there's also the upper range, the high upper ranges of experiences that one can have. I connected with Angel Energy, Ed Warren, when I went to their museum. I connected with that. So
that's cool.
I like experiencing that. So sorry, I'm rambling. Go ahead.
That's okay. I wanted to ask you a question here. You touched on, yes, a lot of stuff. I've been taking notes, as you can tell.
And, good. Thanks. I'll let you guide me from now on, because I can really handle it.
You said you grew up in California, so you spent a lot, yep, of time in the woods in that, but, uh-huh, where did you, not like where did you live, but like where did you live? Did you live like on the, like a country, or like the edge of a city, or like main city? Like how big was the city that you lived in? Does that make sense?
Yes. Suburbs.
Okay.
Close to the foothills of the Silicon Valley. Like I could walk from my parents' house up into the hills,
yep,
and that side of the hills is considered like the evergreens side. So the foothills were like the rolling oak trees and, thing. And then you'd go a little bit, 5 minutes more drive, and then you're in the Santa Cruz Mountains with like the lush redwoods, like, so, and then the elevation could get up to, let's say, I don't know exactly, I'm going to say 1,100 feet. I'm not sure exactly. Don't hold that against me if I said that wrong. But so that area. And so, okay, nice area, yeah, of the world.
Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering. Like a lot of people, like, most people I guess would like say they grew up like in the city, big cities and stuff. And for you to have this connection with nature and all the energy and stuff, I was like, mm-hmm, if you're living in California, you can't be living in like a major city or, metropolitan area or anything. You probably grew up somewhere that was a little bit more nature oriented to begin with.
Well, yes. And then my grandparents bought property near the foothills of the Sierras in California, Oroville, in 1970. So I've been, and so they would just kind of, we would use the land before they built on it for 10 years. So from a baby, we would, I would, till I was, forever, long years, going up there and, tromping in the tall grass and playing on the tree, in the oak trees, and going in the creek and water skiing and camping. So I had both, my whole life, all camping, what do you call it? Four wheeling and, mm-hmm, riding bikes and trail motorcycles and hiking and just outdoors a lot. Yeah.
Cool.
All really good experiences. I never saw a mountain lion or came upon a rattlesnake. I never got poison oak until I was older. Like, I'm just saying, like, I feel like I've never seen a mountain lion. I mean, live.
Yeah.
I guess my point is, it's always been a very gentle, nature has been very gentle with me and to me. It's like home.
Very interesting. You also said something that I haven't heard a lot about, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the spiritual self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very interesting. Like a lot of like people that do like the paranormal investigating and stuff go into these places, and for the most part, when I go into some places, I don't bring any kind of protection or anything like that because I want to have those experiences. But if our team goes into a place that has bad activity and bad energy and stuff, then I'll bring like a bag of protection stones and stuff like that. So, by the way, can you kind of talk about like what spiritual self-defense is and how you use it and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's called psychic self-defense, but really what, when you think about what the priests would do, like, at, Ed and Lorraine Warren's museum, he would, bring you bombard the area with positive energy, right? We're talking about metaphysics. Negative energy and positive energy cannot be in the same space. It just won't happen. So we, each of us, is our own point of attraction. So it depends on each person doing their own inner work first. So you can have a bag of crystals with you. If you go in a bad mood or you bring your own self there, if you're thinking, I want to have any experience, that's like playing the Ouija board. You know what I'm saying? So psychic self-defense, there's different ways to think about it. You can say certain affirmations. I know a really good one is, I am loved and I am worthy. I am safe and I am free. I am powerfully protected. I am master of my body and ruler of my mind. So I have talked to people on Facebook that they've gotten in touch with me and they're like, I'm having these weird experiences. And I go, okay, start saying that, write it down, wear certain colors, get a diffuser and have, essential oils going on, play night, good music, all these things are changing the vibration around you or in you. So, thinking good thoughts and all, eating healthy, these are all good things to do. So if you say, I want to have any experience, you're just opening, you don't, that's not necessarily, I don't know why would you want to have a bad experience? It's like saying, I want to be driving down the street and I want to be going through a light and then somebody runs the red light and hits me. You don't want to do that. You don't want to have bad experiences. That doesn't make, because they will correlate into your life in other ways. Liking, attract, liking. Energy, whether that's a person, situation, an event, an experience with the non-physical, all that. So I've really studied all this because but here's another thing to know. You can be observing, right? You're over here in the street and you hear screeching noise. So you're just observing. You're not part of the experience. And you're like, oh, I'm safe right here. I'm safe over here. So does that make sense? Like, you don't have to be included in it. You're still safe on your side. When I went to my spiritual study school, people have experiences all the time, all sorts of different ones. Like, I was standing next to a guy in the bookshop, the bookstop store part, and he got poked. I didn't feel anything. So, it's just random. I mean, it's individual, I should say. So that's kind of those, that answer to part of that. But so doing, bringing, having positive energy stuff is gonna help you. When I went to the Borden's house, I was thinking about that, the excitement of getting to go into the house because of it's an old house. I'm from California where there's not older homes, right? Or there are, but not as much. And so I was in like looking around, like this is amazing. I love seeing older homes. And I was looking at the crown molding and like I was feeling like this is amazing. Wow, look at that's original crown molding and learning the story behind the building of the house that Andrew did for his daughters. It was that kind of stuff. We weren't on a paranormal investigation when we were there. And he came to me. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I felt his presence in the moment that I was feeling appreciation for the space. And I want to pass along this information that he appreciates people appreciating his house. So we connected on that level. You know, in every single particle is a negative and a positive. So what do you want to connect to? What kind of experiences do you want to have? What do you want to learn? I go to places so I can learn. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to be a medium, so I can go somewhere and hear the truth about the place, the truth about, you know, what is this story real? Like, what happened here? I like to go to ancient structures and like, why did they build that structure here? And like, and I'm being taught, you know, intuitively, or I'm being left little objects, a rock and plants, and being welcomed to the space because I'm coming to the space, me, my energy. I have a, you know, you try to have a, as much of a pure heart as you can. You do your inner work. You work through your stuff. You're being truthful to yourself. You're not lying to yourself or like lying to others. You're coming to the space in the most purest way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I'm saying? Did that answer your question?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit. Oh my God.
I really like what you said about, you know, you can still have and see those other experiences, but still protect yourself. You know, you can go into any, you know, bad energy location and see the things without opening
yourself up to it. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Why do you want to go to a bad energy location?
Well, see, our team does a lot with like helping people and stuff. And we actually got called.
What do you mean by helping people?
Well, people that like, we got called into this investigation on one of our episodes where they were having all these bad things happen, hearing voices and things moving.
Is this into a house, like a residence, a house?
Correct, yes.
Okay,
yep.
Okay.
And yep. They actually were moving out of the house. Okay. This is on our episode, Documenting Fear. And all they wanted us to do was to come in and document this as a third party to see that they weren't crazy, that this stuff actually was happening.
Got
and
it.
And this was a very bad place. Like the energy in there and
super negative energy, super low vibrational stuff going on.
They were saging and they anointed it with holy water and they did all this stuff to try and get rid of the stuff in there. And they were saging 3 times a day with windows open and doing the whole nine yards. And to try and get rid of this stuff. And it just was not leaving.
Okay, so here again, we can talk about the law of attraction. If they're paying attention to it a lot, giving it a lot of energy, noticing it a lot, that's inviting it. Mm-hmm. You're continuing to hold it there. Meaning like you're keeping it in your now. If you're like, you know, so you have to be in like mode of like not, this is one of the things I tell people is when, like, for example, there's a guy I'm going to go over and there's some stuff going on in his house and then the space next door, you go into it like ignoring it. You don't outright talk about it. You use code words. You do it on the sly. You do it subtly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Also, you got to teach the people, like, what's going on in their lives? You know, like, what are they doing? What, why, you know, whatever. So, like, they're making sure to do their energy work. Mm-hmm. What's continuing to hold, keep it, what's continuing to, you know, there's a momentum. Law of attraction is a momentum. You know, if you got a lot of stuff going on, you got to stop thinking about that and stop doing that and talking about it. And focus on something else so that the vibrations of that will slow down and stop. And then you're focusing on elsewhere. So there's different things of that of why that is. Recently, so one of the things I do is I do dog training. I do watching people's animals in their homes, doing house sitting when they're out of town. And so there was a house that I stayed at for about a month. And the lady kept asking me, like, are you picking up on anything? And so I was going into it really excited that they live near a state park. So I'm imagining, ooh, maybe I'll connect with the nature spirits of that area, the ancient people of the land. So that's where my thoughts were. Okay. So, yeah, at some point I started feeling like something in the master bedroom, like kind of near the closet. And so I started thinking that, you know, am I imagining this? Because, you know, part of the work is this mine? Is this my stuff, or am I picking up on something? Which is it? Am I just, okay, am I having like a childhood thing? Like, oh, it's dark in here, so I'm nervous. Or like, is there something? Is there an energy? So I kind of opened the window a little bit to allow just a little bit of a crack so that it will suck the air out. And then I brought in a big crystal. I have like a big selenite, and that's a really good one because it's a self-cleansing. You don't want to put it in water either. It's just a self-cleansing crystal. And I held it up and I said, this is what I'm about. Because I was out into the house and I said, I just said out loud to, I didn't know what or who, you can leave. I mean, this is when my intuitive side, like things will just pop out of my mouth. Like I'll just say things. I'm like, you do not need to be here. Like no matter what someone else thinks, you can go. This is your life to progress on. This is just was popping out of my mouth. So then I went into the room with the big crystal. I said, so I felt like I wanted to tell this person, like, look, I'm coming from a good place. Look at, this is what I'm about. Look at, see? And I took the crystal and I placed it inside of the, right inside the door of the master closet. And then I texted, and then I left it there for a couple days. And then after a couple days or however long it was, I removed it. And then it just felt like just a space now. It was something, there was an absence of that feeling. So then I asked her some things. I said, and she was really good about not leading me, you know, like not telling me ahead of time anything, like letting me have my own experience. That's so important. It's so much better to not know. And then you pick up on stuff your own self, because you might pick up on something different than the story. You might pick up on what's in the closet or, you know, whatever, what's outside or whatever. So I asked her, I said, is there something of someone's in the closet, in the master closet? I texted her that. Then I texted hair ? Ashes ? That just flew out of me. I wasn't really, it just popped out. So she got back to me. Yes, ashes. And then she told me the story that her husband's dad, she has felt his presence for 10 years. So then when she got back, she said, he's gone. And I felt it too. And I was like, but you know what? I did not need to know his background. You know what I'm saying? This is part of it. You don't necessarily want to connect with their human self. They're not there. They're not that anymore. You know, they've moved on from that. You know, I don't know if he was earthbound or if he was just hanging out because he felt like he had to, because of the son, her husband, like, ooh, feeling whatever he's feeling about the whole situation. Right. And so maybe he felt that he had to be there for whatever reason. I don't know. But I don't need to know. All I know is that I want to help that spirit, that human soul progress. You're free to go. Please do. You have so much more to see. There's more out there. Your journey is going to need to continue on. You know, so it was pretty cool. It was very validating, very confirming of my, you know, getting to really have it play out like for real, my training, my getting to have her validate my work, you know. So I don't, you know, that's an example of, I don't want to know that, you know. Then she's telling, I don't want to know. And then they feel the need to still tell you anyways. They don't, you got to respect people's boundaries. You know, there's reasons why I don't want to know. I don't need to know. I don't want to draw back those knowings. Mm-hmm. He was in prison. He had, whatever his story, doesn't matter. He's not living that anymore. Let him, he's not that. You know, so I have other experiences around the United States where I end up connecting with a person that has transitioned, and we connect in some way. And then I'm able to pass along to the people in that town some stuff. She's okay now. She's not that. She's now, you know what I mean? So Anyways, rambling again.
We have a
hopefully it's helpful.
Yeah, we have a medium on our team, and we have a psychic empath on our team as well. And
yeah.
We find that using them on cases and stuff, it's best, like you said, not to tell them anything. Just walk in this location, tell us what you feel, what you see, and stuff like that. Because you cloud so much with what they're trying to do.
It's distracting.
Mm-hmm.
So also, I want to say that you mentioned the empath thing. It's really good to be in a, you know, being an empath, you want to kind of be able to be at a level of compassion, because when you're in compassion, you care, but you're not caught up in the lower feelings. You're not getting caught up in that person's whirlpool of doom and gloom. You know, you can't help a poor person by being poor. You can't help a sick person by being sick. You got to stay well. You got to stay high and up in your own space. You know, you don't want to lower your vibration. You don't want to lower yourself to be at that level of depression and anger and whatever, because you're not going to be, that's not helping them. You know, so, but yes, being able to feel what's going on definitely helps put the pieces together with what stories are being said, like, oh, I feel weird in this part of the house or whatever. There is a couple that I met who back in, gosh, when was it? A couple years ago when I was in Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I saw a figure, like a being of light walking at night, like a human form walking. It was literally made of light, walking in the forest. And then he kind of vanished, like it went through a portal or something. And then like a year and a half later, I was on a guided tour at this state park. And I don't know why, I turned to the couple that were next to me and I said, I had an experience here, or I had an experience in this park. And it turns out that these two people go around the United States. They have all of their equipment. So we met at this spot, and yes, everything was going off. There was, you know, the ovulus was saying things, the REM pod was going off, pictures of misty form. It was amazing. So to be able to kind of put that together, you know, in that way, that I think there was a portal right there. Anyways.
Have you ever worked in the like in Wisconsin at all?
Yes. Well, not. I've driven. No, I've only driven. I landed in Wisconsin and went on a road trip through Wisconsin to the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say I stopped in Wisconsin to buy some moccasins, and that was it.
Okay.
What do you ask?
I was interested because we started CAPS. Because of one specific location in Wisconsin, which is the Burlington Woods or the Burlington Vortex. If you've ever heard of that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Mary Sutherland.
Nope.
Okay. We just had her on the podcast. She was on our very first episode of our YouTube show. She was just on our podcast talking again recently. But
cool.
The woods has like all this like fairy activity, shamanic activity, Bigfoot, and it's
there you go. Now you're talking.
Experiences there as
okay.
well.
And I would go like, there. That's the place I would go.
Yeah, we did. If you're interested, it's our first episode on our YouTube channel. We actually have two episodes on it, and like I said, Mary was just on our podcast. I would definitely reach out to her if you're interested too about it. But it was a very interesting place, and we treated it with respect every time we went in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fairy tree. Yeah. We were supposed to leave M&Ms or trinkets or something for the fairies.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. There was one tree on the second side. There's two sides of it, what we kind of call as like the enchanted woods on one side, and then there was a power line cut, and then on the other side was the shamanic woods. Where there was supposed to be a shamanic burial site and all this
other
stuff.
Wow.
It's on top of a serpent mound.
Wow.
According to Mary Sutherland.
Okay.
So what happened was Mary told us that there was these two guardian trees. There was a male guardian and a female guardian. And when you went in the woods, you place your hands on them and you get the energy from them and that. And it was two
I'm very
years.
connected to trees. I love trees. I touch them and talk to them all the time.
Two years ago, I think it was. It was one of the last times that we were in there. I might get this wrong. I think it's the male guardian tree fell over.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't like, I mean, like, obviously they're old trees. They were really big, like 2, 2.5 feet round, big trees.
Wow, okay.
But the male guardian tree has fallen over. And we went back, I want to say one or two times after that to these woods, and the entire woods, the energy changed.
Wow.
Like, it was not as
Wasn't as balanced,
magical,
maybe?
wasn't as enchanted feeling in there
Interesting.
after
Wow.
this tree had gone down.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat. Yes, I really, really like going to places like that where there's multiple paranormal experiences, whether it's UFO, Sasquatch. I really like to go to places where the Native Americans lived, where they did ceremony, where they where their burial sites, because I like connecting to that good stuff. There's a reason, there's an energy there. And so Mena, Arkansas, when you were talking about this place in Wisconsin, it reminded me of Mena, Arkansas. There's a place there called Board Camp Crystal Mine. And I went there because I had heard of this place when I was listening to a podcast that Wendy Garrett has called, it's called Wendy's Coffee House now. And at the time she has it was called Conscious Living. She has that site that I was interviewed by her from that too. And so anyway, so she's talking about this place. She interviewed the couple, and I wanted to go there because of the energy. I wanted to go crystal digging, and so that's where my beginnings of my introduction to Sasquatch started, was at Mena, Arkansas, the nursery. There's a place there called the nursery where the local tribe started teaching the couple about this place and asked if they could do their ceremonial work on the land because they consider this super sacred land. MUFON's been out there. A couple different TV shows have gone. I guess Josh, what's his name from
Gates,
Destination?
Josh
Yeah,
Gates,
he's been there. Yep. So the tribe calls Sasquatch there the tree people. And when I heard that, there was some deep resonating that I felt in my life, like something shifted in my world when I heard it. Like this gentleness came over me, like because of my years in the forest, my years wandering by myself, just super like feeling like I was being supported and protected and loved on. And when he started teaching me there, I feel like there's a reason why I learned in that way about it. And then as I started binge listening to people's experiences, like what kind of experiences are people having with Sasquatch, And then a couple of my own memories, flashbacked. And I started really kind of really looking at these two experiences I had and like comparing them to what people are talking about. And I cried because I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the club. This is amazing. This is amazing. Wow. So yes, I love, and I love to do road trips. Maybe I'll drive up there and go, or fly and get a rental car and like go to this place you're talking about, because I love traveling around the United States. I've been to many places around the United States that have very special energy, and or I don't even know it. Like I'm going there for something else, and then plants will appear, and the guy's like, "Oh my God, those are for you. Those are ceremonial plants." I'm like, "Wow," So it's really fun. So thanks for sharing about
Definitely.
that.
Yeah, if you ever get up in the area, let me know. We'll hook you up out there, so
Okay.
give you a tour.
I'll keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I do want to we got to start talking about some of your experiences here, because that's why you came on the show, I guess. So well, you already started talking about Bigfoot, so I mean that's my playground. I do all the cryptozoology and stuff, and so what you had two experiences you said that were Bigfoot related.
In my early years or earlier, I there was two, and then more recently, in the last few years, I've had more and more, you know, experiences with that. My dog is drinking some water in the background. I don't know if you can hear that. I'm like, what's that? Probably like, what's that weird sound? So yeah, I mean, it started now that I, you know, this initiate, I guess I say initiation, introduction in 2018, officially learning about that these forest beings are real, you know, and I was like, and then I was just blown away. And then, so when I went back to my hometown, like not my hometown, but where I was living in Savannah, Georgia, about 6 months later, I started noticing the tree manipulations and like the rearranging, the weavings of trees. And like, I call it like pickup sticks, you know, like big old like trees, like placed strategically seeming in this particular area of the forest. And so I started going out there a lot. This place called Blue Sky Nature Preserve there. And it's a place that it feels very nature-like there, very natural set feeling. I like going there. And so I would go out there a lot, and I would just notice like, God, I didn't notice that tree manipulation thing the last time I was here. And so I went off trail to see if I could start hearing the vocals, because I went to this place, I went there, this Blue Sky Nature Preserve, and I went off trail in a different spot, and I came upon an area where there were these, it seemed it was like, I could imagine it was a gathering place. I don't know why. I just felt like this is, they go here, these trees that are, look, I felt like it was a gazebo or a little park setting, which it wasn't, it was just a forest. And I started talking to them out loud. I decided that I was gonna learn this subject on my own. I wanted to connect with them in my own way without hearing everybody's way. And so I said out loud, thank you for being with me, because I feel like they have been around me, watching me, as I've grown up in the Santa Cruz Mountains and in the foothills of the Sierras. And I said, I want to learn about you. I want to learn from you. I want to be friends. I want to know you, you know, and my study's a little bit of like, you know, how they say that the trees connect to each other through the root systems. Right. So I imagined that I can connect with the entire world of trees and the beings by just speaking out loud and passing the word out around the world that of this, you know. And I cried in like appreciation of this, knowing them, you know. And so then soon after that, I started hearing vocals, and I was learning from other people I'd hear like people talking about these owl sounds. And then also just little clips that I'd heard of some vocals, but I kind of kept away from that because I didn't want to have too much possibly altering what I'm hearing through it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So soon after I had that sort of talking out loud, I was about a half hour away in the country where my friend has property on like very large area of land where it's right by a river and lots of space to roam around on country oak trees, pine trees and stuff. And so I was out there and I heard what sounded like an owl, but there was something about it that, you know, have you ever had when you're somewhere and you're like, something's different. Mm-hmm. So I heard this owl, and I do that in air quotes, and then I heard sort of a response, like, and this was like, I'm going to say afternoon before dusk, this response, owl call, okay? So that happened, and then like a week later, I went over to talk to a guy that lives in a camper on the property that my friend's brother owns that portion. And I, because he was talking about hearing there was knocks on his door of the camper. And so I wasn't sure, is this paranormal? Like, is this ghost stuff? Is this spirit stuff? Or is this like Sasquatch stuff? Because I was at the beginnings of learning these people telling about the knockings, at doors and at cabins and on walls and roofs and all that stuff, right? So I got him to come out of the camper, and it was getting to be dusk. The insects were starting to chirp in the trees. It was in the summer of 2019, and we're talking. We're standing across from each other, like about 5 feet away from each other. And all of a sudden, there was this, I call it the man yell, is what I now call it. I've heard the man yell in three different areas now. And it's like a dude's, like a deep voice going, oh, like that. Okay. And it lasts for a few seconds. And when this happened, the guy like looked at me like, what the hell is that? He just looked at, he had this look on his face like, holy shit, what was that? And I just stayed like super poker face, but inside myself, I was like, oh my God, no way. And wow. And it was in another part of where another family member owns their portion of their 8 acres or whatever out there that is used as like a hunting camp. That they were not using that particular season. They were up in some other part of Georgia or something like that. So that happened. And then I heard the owl, or not, I heard the man yell in a wetlands connection area to my neighborhood about a half hour from there. It was one sound. I'm like, oh my God, that is the exact same vocal. And then like a couple months later, I heard some owls up in upstate South Carolina. I was at Paris Mountain State Park. I purposely went there because I wanted to be in near an area that had a lot of just open land, open forest, and so that I can just see if. Just not that I knew if there was for sure, really, but I just wanted to see if they wanted to connect with me out there, and they did. I was hearing owl, some species of sort of owl call way over there, okay, and then the response all the way across the other side. And then there was a different sort of breed of owl call coming from that angle. And then the opposite angle over there. And I was tripping out. It was also at dusk when the sun was starting to go down, the insects were coming out. And it was one of those nights where it was like the insects were super happy. Like just, it was the perfect temperature. It was really nice out. And so as the sun was setting, I'll call. And then all of a sudden, I am hearing them all like together. Out in front of my campsite, like they were all gathered. Are you still there? And I'm just not hearing, seeing
I'm here,
your
yep.
video. Okay, all right.
You started to glitch
So,
out there though, yeah, but yeah.
okay, so are you?
Yeah.
Okay, so where my campsite was on, it was the cement slab spot, and then there was a downhill slope down to another road. And in this downhill slope were those really tall, skinny pine trees going way up into the air. So I was hearing their vocals all of a sudden, all together next to each other, up in these trees, high up in the air, right out from where my campsite was. So it was like, I don't know, like four or five owl calls, like here, like, when people are calling out, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, whatever. So it was like, owl call, and then in the middle of these different owl calls, I started hearing about four or five of like, it sounded like primal man, like ooh, like four or five of those, and all of a sudden I was like, Oh my God, because it's amazing. You know, when you have these experiences where it just happens and you're in the middle of it, it just is so fun. And I just felt pulled. I started walking towards, and I'm like, well, where am I gonna go? Because I can't go up. I would only end up going downhill. And plus, I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm just gonna stay right here. All right, is it glitching out
It
again?
is, yeah. It says internet connection is unstable.
Okay. Oh, that sucks.
It's back.
I don't know why. I mean, so what did you hear last?
I heard it all.
Oh, okay.
And it all came through.
Okay.
Your picture got a little glitchy, but otherwise it was
Oh, okay.
fine.
My voice was okay.
Voice is
Yeah.
fine, yep.
Okay, so perfect. So I was like, no, I'm gonna stay right here. I'm gonna, you know, I felt called. I felt pulled though to get closer. Like, wow. So then right after that, I had an EVP on my phone. This is really trippy. This is like, is this connected to that experience, or was it completely just a separate paranormal experience? I felt like, I don't know why, checking my voicemail, and you know, you do your code to get into your voicemail, and or you know, whatever. And then so right before a new message was about to play, I heard a man's voice say, "Renegade," and it just immediately I stopped. I'm like, because it was unusual. There was something about it that stood out. And I went back and I checked through all my saved messages and deleted them. It's not there, not there, not there, not there. And then here comes where it's about to play the new message, and it wasn't there. And it wasn't on the new message. It was in this space. And I was like, wow, is that? And so I've talked about this a little bit in other interviews, and somebody like that was in chat said something like that they thought it was saying that one of the beings was a renegade. I don't know. I don't know. It's just, I'm open for suggestions with that. It was pretty neat. Like, I don't know if it, I wasn't sure if it was one of my, if it was a spirit guide, or if it was one of the Sasquatch talking, or I don't know. I don't know. So that happened. Then when I moved to Montana, Eureka, Montana, that area of the world, in 2020, June of 2020, I was camping up there in an area where there was just a lake and some fire roads and land, and I was car camping out there, and I heard the man yell. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, there it is again. And then a response. That was a first. That was a first for me. It wasn't a singular man yell. It was like man yell, oh, just out, you know, and then went over there, and then over there, you know, completely left side, the response man yell. And I said, just in my mind, like, do not come over here. Do not peek in the windows at me. Don't freak me out. You know, I'm having good experiences, you know what I mean? So that happened in June of 2020. August of 2020, I went to a part of the river. It's called the Tobacco River near the
Huh.
town. You know the Tobacco River?
No, but
Okay.
it's interesting, yeah.
Oh yeah, that whole area is very ancient people land, okay? I like to call it that. Just I'm saying it in a all with all due respect, okay? Because it's amazing, and wonderful. So I decided it was my birthday, August 4th, and I was like, I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna get my book, and I was reading a book by, and I might say his name wrong, Kawani Laparatis. I think that's how you say it. He has a book called the, gosh, Sacred Sasquatch, I think it's
Okay.
called. And it's on the cover of it is like of a Sasquatch sort of coming in and out of the dimension, like the, you know, interdimensional beings. And that's kind of like what I feel. I'm gonna say no, but I mean, because that my experience that I haven't even talked about has, you know, with I'll tell you about in a sec. So I was reading this book. I was gonna read this book. I had my little chair, my little Crazy Creek chair that you fold out, and I was gonna sit on the river rocks right by the river. And long story short, I heard a sound that I thought was an animal like plopping into the water, imagine a small rock landing into a creek, like bloop. And so I look over there because I had seen, like, it looked like a beaver or like an otter, like on the other side of the river doing its thing. I looked back and it was gone, like it went up into the grass or something. And then I heard a deer snorting behind me. There was something going on. Like, it was like, I just, now that I have had this experience, like, there was something going on here. And this deer was super snorting at me. And I turn, and a lot of things, times I will actually introduce myself. Hi, I'm Trisha. And I have my animals with me a lot. This is Lucy, my dog. This is Manny, my bird. And so I'm introducing us. So that happened. Then I sat down. Then this rock sound in the rock, or I thought it was an animal. I look over thinking I'm going to see that little otter swimming around. Nothing. I look down at my book, and all of a sudden, a giant splash right out in front of me in the water. A splash, like a big rock. I literally, boing, I like stood up quick. And I was like, ho, 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 what did that? I was like looking around. There was like no... A human could not have thrown where the trail is, where I came down to get to where I was. It was not a human that could have done that. That it was not like a line drive. It was like it landed. I mean, I've spent years throwing rocks into water, aiming rocks at things, you know. So that happened. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just started talking out loud. I was like, do you not want me to be here? I mean, I'm not sure sometimes. Am I having a spirit experience or am I having a Sasquatch experience? It's just some of the Sasquatch stuff is still new as it's developed, you know? So I wasn't like knowing maybe they're just right out in front of me and I can't see them. Mm-hmm. They could have been literally just right on the other side of the bank, dropping a rock into the water, you know? Or they could have been up way up on the ridge, super aim. Wow! You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm like, do you not want me to be here? I didn't know how to take it. So then I said, oh God, I was thinking to myself, this is a perfect opportunity to see if they'll interact with me like right here, right now. So I said, will you do that again? Can I watch? Is that okay? You know, type thing, okay? So I waited a couple seconds and I thought, okay, I think I'm just gonna go. So I look down to start picking up my stuff, and like the second my head looks down, splash, there goes another big rock, literally like in the same spot in the water right across from me in like a deeper section of this creek river thing. And I look up to see the last, you know, how like it displaces the water, like it goes down, like the rock makes the water displace down. Mm-hmm. And then the splash up, and I was like, oh my God. So I was like, okay, we're gonna go. We're just going to go. So that happened. And I've talked about that. I have a YouTube channel called Exploring the Paranormal with Trisha Brown. So I tell my stories there too. And I also, you know, reached out to a Bigfoot group that's I forget the name of it, but it's like Montana and Washington area of the world or whatever, that Idaho, all that area. Hey, this is what happened. What do you guys think? And I was like, you know, I thought maybe it's either a spirit or like maybe an adolescent or juvenile, whatever you guys, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Juvenile age, like they're just having fun with me or whatever. I don't know. But that was pretty interesting, you know. So I'm going to tell you.
What time of day was that? Was that at dusk then? Maybe I missed
that. No, it was I don't know. I'm going to say
2 o'clock. Okay.
I'm just guessing. It was in the middle of the day.
Did you happen to have a fire going at all or no?
No, okay. I did not have a fire. Like, I don't know why people feel like they have to have fire. To me, a fire distracts because it's too loud. You're hearing crackling and it could distract you from actually hearing other things. So no, I had one beer with me. I had my water bottle. I had my book in a chair, my Crazy Creek thing that folds up, like just a flat thing, and my animals with me. And that's it. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, So that happened in 2020. And I want to tell you, I want to go back now and tell you, after I was introduced to them, like the understanding of what Sasquatch is about, I literally gave it no thought previous in my hardly anything, a little bit. Like at the beginning of this, I thought to me, like they have to be able to cloak, or like they're interdimensional. That was my, like, that's the only thing that makes sense to me. So, when I was binge listening to Dixie Cryptid in 2019, and then a little bit of Steve Isdall at the beginnings of his, or at least for me, when I came upon his videos back then, when he would tell people stories, I had a flash of in two things, and I'll tell you the one in 2005. I was mountain biking in Auburn, California, up there, and it was just me and a guy that were mountain biking. I was first. He was a few like turns behind me. It was a single track trail in like forest setting, like lots of trees all around. And the single track trail is like half the size of skinnier of a fire road. Okay. So, and I'm just cruising along, winding, kind of a, you know, not too uphill. It was just a very gentle slope, whatever, but I was going like 10 miles per hour. I turn a left corner, and then this is how I've described it as best as I can. It was like watching a fur rug or a hair fur rug, whatever, go across the trail in front of me. Cause you know, at first for years, it was a bear. I saw a bear, right? But what I saw was very, very thick, very, very thick, wavy. Like I literally, in my mind's eye right now, I can see like the S curve of the wave of this reddish brown fur hair, whatever, like matted-ish, whatever, just go across like about like, right, like, I don't know, 10, 20 feet in front of me. And there was no sound. There were no arms or legs or head. Okay. It was just the midsection. And then there was no crunching, running past me. It was just a quick, pew, like, pew, past me. Mm-hmm. And then there was this lingering scent, like a musky, horsey-like scent in the air that wasn't like what people are talking about, like, you know, garbage, or it was, to me, I feel it was like a pheromone-like scent. You know, my parrot, she'll put off that scent in the air occasionally. I'm like, oh, Manny, I can smell you, you know? That's what it is, you know. So that happened in 2005. And when I was putting these pieces together, I couldn't believe it. I felt like, oh my God, that was on purpose. That he showed me, he introduced himself to me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He let me know he was there in that way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the experiences, when you have experiences, they're letting you know that they're there on purpose. They want to. They want you to know that they're there. So that happened. Okay, so then before that, in 1996, I was fishing, like a fishing camping trip in the mountains of Idaho on the Lacsaw River. I don't remember what town that was nearby, but we were out there. We were out there off of a windy mountain paved road. And it was just me and my boyfriend, and he wanted to go to the store to get more lures. He was not the best fisherman. And I grew up doing it. So I was easy. It was fun to me and easy to me. I didn't have to learn how to fish. So, and I was like, I want to stay. You go for it. I'm going to stay out here. It was one of those amazing days. It was in the summer, and it was just peaceful. And it was on a river where the one bank that was closest to the road had where there's the small boulders going down the side of the bank of the river. Have you ever seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he left. And I'm like, okay, I better look around me just to make sure that there's not a mountain lion going to jump on me. Because, you know, on the other side of the road was a tall bank and then just trees. It was like I was down inside of a, it's my own little canyon or little valley thing. And so it was a, these inclines up on each side of me of the land structure, like just uphill all around me, except for where this river was. So where I was at, sitting on one of these little boulders, I look around across from me now. It's just a part of the river that's a deep, slow-moving part of the river. And on the other side of the river was a sand beach. And the sand beach was like untouched. It was, I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm like, this is amazing. And then this, I don't know. I don't know how to describe, like, let's say it was 100 feet long and 30 feet from the water up into the trees. Mm-hmm. And then the trees really had a good steep incline up, and just, who knows, hundreds of miles of just land and just trees, thick trees. And there was a boulder at the back of this, like a big, tall boulder. So I'm looking around, and this all happened really quick. Mm-hmm. So I notice that there is these footprints leading from the water up into the trees. Something walked, not one footprint, mm-hmm. footprints, deep, large prints. And in my mind at that time, I only had bear to go by. I didn't have this thought of Bigfoot whatsoever. And so my eyes saw these footprints, and I thought bear. And then up about, I don't know, I'm going to say kitty corner from this boulder up to the left, about half a football field from there, a loud crack, like tree crack sound, like crack. I mean, it was like, it just was the only sound in the entire space. And my eyes just immediately like try to figure out, where is that coming from up there? And then this swooshing, like movement of branches or something up there, like sound. Okay. And then my eyes, they were probably bugging out of my head. Like, oh my God, what? Imagining a bear is about to come down through the trees and come up, you know, onto the sand. That's what I was thinking. Okay. And then literally, like, it was like I just let it go. I just let it go and just went back to enjoying myself out there. Okay. So now, or since 2019, when this memory came back to me, this is what I think. I think it was a Sasquatch and it was letting me know it was there. Not to scare me, not to, you know, just to say, hey, that's, you know, like, you know, they're super heightened. Their senses are super heightened. And he saw what I was doing. He saw I looked back behind me. He saw I looked in front of me. He saw that I saw the footprints. And he was saying, I did that. That was me. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when I realized that, I got tears in my eyes because I felt like, oh my God, wow. How I felt good. It felt good. You know, he didn't have to let me know that he was there. It wasn't to scare me. It was just let me know that he was there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are some of the experiences that I've been having, you know, with them, beyond, and you know what, I like talking to the people who have telepathic communications with them. I like talking to the people that are, they're hearing their vocals to them. And, you know, there's a guy in Ontario that I've talked to that has, where they have literally said his name and communicate with him and, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's really special. It's mm-hmm. a special thing, you know, and I think it's very, I feel honored, mm-hmm. you know, I feel honored that they're letting me know that they're there. They don't have to, They do not need to even say that they, we hear, we know these stories where they don't want anything to do with humans. So if you're a good person, if you, they know your heart, I like the good stories where they help people and they leave gifts and, all that kind of stuff. So
have you ever tried any of that stuff, like gifting with them or anything like that?
Yes. Okay. I went over to that other side of the river from where I thought that it's possible that they were over there, maybe dropping the rocks into the water. I wasn't sure. And I left an orange. Okay. And see, in my thoughts is, how are you going to know that it's just not an animal taking it? Mm-hmm. Unless you're how people will literally set up a game cam and then are they seeing a hand grab the orange or whatever? Mm-hmm. But I didn't have that. So then I thought, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? And I'm like, I'm going to leave them a beer. So I went over to the other side and I left a beer bottle with a full beer sitting there just to see. And because, an animal isn't really going to take that. Mm-hmm. So nothing happened with it. Nothing happened with it. I just checked a couple times. I'm like, okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not there. It's just, that's just what's happened so far. I mean, I have been given little things to, with from spirit, letting me know that things can manifest out of nowhere into the physical realm, beyond, whether it's Sasquatch or, whatever, human spirit, a ancient spirit, or somebody wanting to say, look, this is magic, right here in our, beyond the five physical senses, is this world of amazing experiences to be had.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.